FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. It's June 27th, 2017. Scams, scams, and yet more scams. Recently had somebody try to pull the IRS scam on me. They were so bad. They were pathetic. I've got Heather Wagenhals on with me right now of unlockyourwealthradio.com. Heather, you know, I got this call from the IRS and they're like, they said it was the IRS, so maybe they've relocated IRS headquarters to Mumbai. And the recording says, this is the IRS, and we've just filed a criminal case against you. They're not using any of the right terminology that an IRS agent would use. I mean, I've dealt with government people, and throughout my career, it was my job. I just know they're fake. So I call it back. And this guy, he says, are you calling from this number? And he obviously has caller ID and he reads back my phone number. He says, is it a home or cell phone? I said, what difference does it make? Well, I will tell the agent to lock you up behind bars immediately. I said, you are a total no good bunch of scamming, blah, blah, blah. I unleash a tirade of four-letter words on him, and he just can't believe that he got somebody who isn't scared of him. And then I hung up the phone, and then they tried calling me again from a Florida number, and the same exact scam. I mean, what is going on here, Heather? Does anybody believe this crap?
Well, you know, it was the number one scam for last year in the rankings of the top scams. It was the most reported scam. And they're wasting no time this year trying to get to be number one again. And I think that what we have to remember is whether or not it's right around to tax season, the IRS takes a long time to process claims. I mean, you figure everybody's rushing to file their business, their personal returns, but you figure like the business returns sometimes go on a different calendar. So the IRS is always working on tax returns, and then they're always trying to dig up dirt on money that they didn't get from years past. So the IRS is always in motion as a legitimate entity. So it gives these scammers the perfect opportunity. And let's just say, you know, you did your taxes and you probably took a few write-offs or tried to push the envelope on some things that maybe you shouldn't have. So you have that lying in the back of your mind that you're trying to be sneaky and get away with something. And then these people call. You just had a flat tire this morning. Your boss said, if you don't turn in this report by noon, that you're going to be fired. And then all of a sudden, you know, the principal calls, your kid is being kicked out of school for fighting. And then these guys call and they say they're going to send you to jail. And they don't even say why, but because you know that you took a few extra write-offs that certainly wouldn't merit jail time, that now you have had this adrenaline dump and we biologically respond to the call with instinct and emotion. So we've got panic, we've got fear, and we just want to make it go away. So we're going to do whatever they say to make it go away.
Yeah, well, my making it go away was cursing them out and telling them to go to hell. And, you know, it's just like, the government is heavy-handed, but look, if they're not knocking on your door with a battering ram to break your door down, they're not calling you up telling you we're going to arrest you. I mean, they're just not doing that.
Well, exactly. It takes a while before you go to jail for tax evasion.
Yeah.
It takes a long time because there's still like due process, you know, as an individual. So you have the opportunity to present your position and be heard, and they're not just going to come after you. Even if it's been something long ago, you'll see your wages garnished before they'll ever come after you. Mm-hmm. If there's a way to get the money, they'd rather have the money than send you to jail.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that just begs the question, that, well, what do I do when I get one of these calls? Well, first off, you're not going to get a phone call from the IRS. They're first going to contact you through snail mail, regular first class U.S. postage. That's how you'll hear from them. And they'll instruct you to call them. So that's the first thing you need to know. They don't email you anything. Again, it's going to be the old-fashioned post office that they're going to connect with you on. And one of the things that we have to remember, and everybody wants their money fast, especially if they're expecting a refund. And so they put their bank account information on these tax returns and expecting, you know, to get their money direct deposited. Well, nefarious people can work anywhere. And if you're under duress for whatever reason, bad choices, family pressures, overextension, and you're working for the IRS and somebody offers you money to start sending them personal data, you know, you could be a victim of identity theft and fraud from somebody who works for the IRS because they're needing to make a few extra bucks and they're selling your data. So we can't keep our head in the sand about this. And it's more than just a phone call. So, you know, we need to file our tax returns manually. When we file electronically, we waive some rights. So it's important that you file manually, print out your tax return, sign it, send it in, and wait for them to mail you a check. If you've got financial problems that you need them to direct deposit the money, your problems are bigger in scope than what the IRS can do for you. And you need to think of an alternative scenario to solve your problems.
You know, that's so true. It's really a question of them hitting you at the right moment. So another scam, which I sent you a copy of, I took a picture of it. A friend of mine, she gets a thing. First, she gets an email, be a secret shopper, you know, and we're going to send you on an assignment to Saks. And like, she doesn't know it's a scam, but I instantly know because I've gotten 8 of these emails in the past month. And they send her a check for $3,900. She's supposed to keep, or $2,900. She's supposed to keep $300 for the assignment. And then they give her 2 other people that she's supposed to pay $1,300 each to. So she said, well, fine, I'll send them the money after the check clears. Guess what happened? You had a
check didn't clear. Bounce.
Yeah, because they're hoping, and it took a week for it because it's on some weird bank, probably overseas. And they're counting on the fact that you'll just figure after a day or two you didn't hear it bounced and you'll send out the checks. I mean, it's the total confidence game. They put they give you their confidence, so you give them yours, right? We'll trust you with the $2,900 for your $300, and then we'll trust you to send out the money. But when you think about it, there's no logical reason that you should be... If they got to send money to somebody, if they can send you a check, why can't they send that guy a check too? It makes no sense, the whole scam.
It doesn't. But what's interesting is that she was actually able to deposit the check. So someone came to me that was a victim of this same exact scam. And what happened to them when they went to the bank to deposit it, they said, hold on a minute. And, you know, they put it through this check and it was a bogus check. And she's like, well, what do I do? I'm supposed to do this and this. And they said, well, here's the deal. If you deposit this check, you're a party to this crime. This is not a valid check. And you are going to go to jail if you insist on me processing this transaction. But I can already tell you this is a bogus check. This bank account doesn't exist. We called this bank to try to verify this account, these people, and nothing. So she's lucky that they didn't come after her for being a party to the scam, as one of the fraudsters. So she's very, very fortunate. But, you know, this scam has a variety of iterations, you know. So that just happens to be with a secret shopper. But I've known lately a lot of professional services folks have been victim to it. One of my friends who's a neuro-linguistic programming coach received a version of it. I'm going to send a group of people for group coaching. I'm going to send you this check. Oh, by the way, you need to pay this limo driver who's bringing them by this amount of money because I can't, I just sent you my last check. I can't send them the money.
Oh, right.
That my producer got a bunch of it. Hey, you know, I want you to produce these singers. I'm going to send them down. And so he's got to talk about the music. He's got a lot of background work that he's got to get done. And they're like, he's like, what kind of music is it? And they're like, Western. And they're like, that's still a broad category. There's genres in that. And he kept trying to drill him down. And because he produces Unlock Your Wealth Radio, he's very aware of these scams. So he just kind of keeps trying to draw them out. The guy can't call him on the phone because, well, he's in the hospital for throat surgery, but he really needs to get these singers. But he won't tell him what the singers' names are, won't send them links to any of their previous music, but just says, look, and then he says, look, I'm going to send them your way. I'm also mailing you a check. What's your address? I need to mail you a check. Oh, and I need you to pay the limo driver when he gets there because he won't pick him up unless I prepay him.
Yeah, and they fall for it. You know, it's don't do anything for strangers. Don't expect strangers to do anything for you. And then if it just happens to work out that way, great. But certainly don't undertake any obligations because...
Well, they're playing upon the brain's natural desire to reciprocate. You know, it's called the law of reciprocity. And salespeople know this intimately. Ethical salespeople know that if I invite you or offer you something for free, it'll compel you to spend money with me if you like my product or service. And so they're just taking that to the next level and using it as a scam tool.
Yeah. Well, look, we've all been scammed at one time or another. Sometimes it's an expensive lesson, but you have to realize that, you know, you're not getting something for nothing here. And when people ask you for money or ask you to do something for them that's going to cost you money, your alarm bell should be going off.
Absolutely. You know, and what's interesting today is the FTC just published a new alert for business coaching scams.
Oh, really?
This one's been really interesting because everybody that starts a business, it's their first time out, they need some help. And so they find these business coaches that offer them something for free, but then they've got to pay for this other thing. And then they never ever get the product or service that's supposed to coincide with the coaching. And the people are derailing businesses. They're taking and redirecting funds depending on how involved these coaches are getting in the business. And they're just plain ripping them off. They're not providing the value. And what's interesting is that most of the stuff that these coaches are offering is available for free on the Small Business Administration website. And what was interesting in one of the cases is that they actually just took and copied verbatim what was on the Small Business Administration advice site,
really?
But sold it to these individuals.
Hey, well, it just shows some people should not start businesses, right?
Right. Well, you know, you need to have, you know, there are so many ways to protect yourself. I mean, go to SCORE, the Service Corps of Retired Executives. They have executives that can counsel you and guide you from every business genre out there.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I know when I first started publishing, I got a publishing guy to help me out and taught me what the ropes were and stuff and talked about the nuances. As an executive, he taught me, he told me why he was getting out of the business because he didn't like the way digital was working, but he was kind of that old school mentality. But I got a fundamental understanding of what to look for, what's really important in publishing and where you need to be. And that was valuable and that was free from the Service Corps of Retired Executives. You know, the Small Business Administration has a lot of resources as well, you know, and again, at no charge. And so if you are starting a business and you're not super savvy or very trusting of people, you need to go with proven resources, not just some guy that emailed you. And again, like we always talk about, on a moment, you know, of weakness where, you know, we're biologically driven towards pleasure and away from pain. And if you're solving a problem, if you're making me feel good or hurt less, I'm in. That's just the way we're wired.
Yeah. Well, I just view every call and every email as a potential intrusion until proven otherwise. I think that's your safest bet, right? I
mean, yeah, absolutely. You got to do due diligence, I think is probably the most important thing, is you got to do due diligence and look at people's track records, but solicit advice from people that are further ahead than you. Don't listen to your Uncle Sal who's had three failed businesses who says, oh, yeah, I got a guy. You need to talk to this guy.
Oh, yeah, I got a guy for you. I got a guy for you. Yeah, that's going to work out great. That's going to really work out well.
Right.
But yeah, there's just amazing how many are out there. You know, I guess you hear the three most dreaded letters in the English language, IRS, and you start running for the hills. You know, what did I do wrong? You're immediately on the defensive, right?
Yes, exactly. You know, and so, you know, I mean, if I'm not expecting an email from somebody, it's immediately in my mind a solicitation for fraud. It's an invitation to disaster. And if I haven't subscribed to your email list or, you know, you'd haven't said, Heather, I'm sending you something, then it's in my mind, I'm already relegating it to the scam pile.
Yep. And that's what you need to do. It's garbage until proven otherwise, right?
So. Exactly.
Yeah. So
and it, we just, you know, it's unfortunate in this age that we have to be hyper vigilant, but it's the times we live in.
Yeah, that's for sure. Well, what other scams have we got going on out there, Heather?
Well, you know, I think that, you know, the business scams has been a new one, but it, you know, you have to be, just because you're in business or you have a successful business doesn't mean you're not susceptible to it. Another popular one that's kind of been gaining some resurgence is the Yellow Pages scam. So they never call you the business owner, but they go to your HR department and they send them an invoice. And your HR may not be super closely connected to you. If there's 6 degrees of separation between you and your accounts payable, and they get an invoice that says, you know, $2,000 for an advertisement for Yellow Pages or a listing, you know, you don't know if your boss authorized it. And if you're that far removed from the powers that be in your company, you're just going to hurry up and get a process because you don't want something late or a default on there. So you got to be really careful, and you've got to, verify that there was an actual order placed, because you don't want to bother your boss, but you got to find out if that's a legitimate expense. Because when the bosses start reviewing and they're like, well, what's this $2,000 expense? And they're like, oh, it was for the Yellow Pages ad. And they're like, well, I didn't place an ad in the Yellow Pages. That's interesting. Mm-hmm. And so that's when it's gaining resurgence too. So remember, as a business owner, you're managing and building a business, but you not might not be paying attention to all the details. And those that are helping you mind the store need to be empowered to make decisions and to be able to say no. So that's a consideration that you have to be paying attention to, that you might be a victim without even realizing it.
Hey, and that Yellow Pages scam was back in the heyday of the Yellow Pages. Now, I mean, I don't even know if I have one in the house with the internet, but I remember a postal inspector guy telling me that they would find these Yellow Page scams, you know, they'd get a complaint and they'd shut them down. They always had post office boxes, and they would shut them down, and they'd get thousands of checks, thousands and thousands of checks in their mailbox, because the Bell Telephone Company never trademarked the term Yellow Pages. So anybody could use it. And
Now their website's yp.com.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and it's still a legitimate publication, but, you know, unless you know what's going on, you know, I mean, how can you run a business effectively and truly pay attention to every single scam and fraud that's out there? You can't. And that's why you have to make sure that you empower your employees to be able to make effective decisions, to be able to do research, and to be able to say no, or at least create a question.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're going to see, you know, hundreds or thousands of dollars slipping away from your fingers, you know, from your business that really shouldn't be.
Yeah, you know, that's why the concept of the purchase order was created, because a lot of companies will never pay any bills unless there's a purchase order number on the bill. And so then they can match it up to the actual order and know it's a bona fide invoice. Once you get it past a certain point, certain size in a business, it makes sense to start to buying through purchase orders or buy right online through credit cards and dispense with bills altogether.
And I think that creating an effective policy for your financial departments is critical for that to be successful. So you have to let them know what is acceptable, what the requirements are, and how to enforce that, and to be able to give them an opportunity to escalate it. Because, you know, $2,000, you know, if you're making millions, might not seem a lot, but if it was $2,000 every day that you were being defrauded, you'd probably want to know about that. So you need to be able to create a chain of command and an effective policy in place for your financial institutions. How do we handle stuff that doesn't have a PO? What if something comes over, but it's a spoofed PO? It's referencing something different. You know, anybody can figure out what a naming convention is or how numbers are generated. If you look at them long enough, you know, like if you pay a bill online and they give you a quote confirmation number, you know, or some sort of reference number, it usually has some form of the date in there.
Yeah.
You know, 201765, you know what I mean? So you like can figure out, oh, okay, so that was June 5th of this year. year. And then it has like a series of other numbers that may mean something or just might be the order of which they were generated that particular day. But in any case, once you figure out somebody's naming convention for those purchase orders, you can spoof those too. So,
it might not
be a panacea. I hate to be like the harbinger of fraud and scams in a sense that like, oh, doom and gloom, but it just takes a little bit of vigilance. And by creating a financial policy on how to handle stuff like that will go a long way. And if you're teetering on the edge as a small business that's growing to be a medium-sized business, you might not have that stuff in place, but will need to sooner rather than later.
Yeah, well, I use QuickBooks Online, and you can create purchase orders right online, and then you email them out to the company. And I mean, I don't buy much stuff. Most of what I buy is credit cards, and it's recurring monthly expenses. So I never really think about it. And when I do pay bills, I pay through electronic bill payment. So I never have to write a check. But, you know, for $20 a month, you use QuickBooks Online. Purchase orders, you have to actually get QuickBooks Online Plus or, you know, you have to get their more advanced version to do this, but it sets up a system there. I think it'll even generate random purchase orders, numbers, it's there. You just set it up and you have multiple people in the system. And as long as every check has to have a purchase order written on it, you never allow a check to go out without it. And therefore you have a double check. You need two people to check every incoming bill, right? And then, you're in pretty good shape there. But there's always...
Right. I mean, financial policies don't have to be multiple pages. You know, it could be as simple as you just described. And that's the thing that we need to remember when it comes to designing these things. You don't have to be sophisticated and all-knowing. It could be something simple as double check.
Totally. But it can be done easily. And you need to set up your systems, whether it's personal, Heather, or business, with the fact that there are dishonest scammers out there that want to get money for doing nothing. You know, they want to steal from you. That's what you always have to remember, right?
Exactly. So, you know, and you can only do so much. And so you have to say, okay, what's the opportunity cost of me losing generating new business because I'm having to sit there and watch this? You know, so you have to figure out where your own personal opportunity cost is and where you have to empower other individuals to do it.
Exactly. Exactly. So, Heather, your show, when's it on and how do we find it?
Well, unlockyourwealthradio.com is where you can find me. I'm syndicated around the country. But if you want to find it on your local dial, just visit unlockyourwealthradio.com and you can find the local listings, or we're on iTunes or Libsyn. And for more great resources on how to avoid identity theft, frauds, and scams, you can visit my website at moneycreditandyou.com.
All right. And hey, if you've got any questions, comments for myself or Heather, email us at kl@carrielutz.com. The Twitter feed's at Carrie Lutz, and the Facebook page is Financial Survival Network. And don't forget, take a look at the site, financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Subscribe to our newsletter. We got one coming out shortly about pre-crime and the world in which you and I are going to live, dealing with pre-crime and all sorts of such things. Hey, Heather, it's always great talking to you. We will talk to you again real soon, and you be well.
You too. Make it a prosperous day.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.